I don't know if you had the chance, I think it was in the last week or so, to see on the internet or the national news story about the Italian version of the television show The Voice. And it turned out that all the judges turned around and were quite surprised to see that it was a nun singing the Alicia Keys hit. And that's what I love about that show, and I'm not afraid to admit it. It's all about that vocal talent. It takes away any influence of the visual. The celebrity judges recognize the talent in nothing but the voice. Some of the biggest magic around in today's world, I think, is in that kind of voice recognition. We think back to the Old Testament and Samuel, the prophet, who was instructed to speak by his mentor Eli, to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Well, today our technology is now saying to us, "Speak, Master, for your servant hears and obeys." We speak and our toys turn on and do our bidding. I even got my iPhone to call me Grand and Benevolent Dictator. Your voice is enough these days to do your bidding. Your voice is enough to get that GPS system in your car to be your digital concierge and report back to you with a voice of your choosing. My son has a video game system that he walks into his room and it recognizes his voice speaking to him. And it obeys him. If only I had the same magic. But it's all magic to me. But it's not to our kids. It's normal to them. But voice recognition really didn't start with science or with this kind of technological magic. It really started way back in Jesus' time. In some of the most defining words of discipleship that Jesus ever spoke, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we see a disciple is defined by voice recognition. A disciple is one who recognizes the voice of Jesus, and whose voice is recognized in return to follow wherever Jesus leads. Of course, this definition of discipleship is not something necessarily magic or unusual to mothers, but something to them that's quite normal. Expectant mothers for many years have long played music to their infants before they're born, because the sound resonates within the womb, soothing and stimulating the baby. But long before anyone ever strapped headphones to their bellies, there were mothers who spent hours talking to their unborn children. And when a baby finally arrives into this strange new world, there is one comforting and familiar sound. A baby knows its mother's voice. Humans are born with a kind of voice recognition. Back in California, when the kids were growing up, we used to take time to go out and camp on the coast at a place called Carpinteria. And as we would hike down along the bluffs above the ocean, there was what was called a seal rookery. And we could watch this seal rookery from up on the cliff above. So you see, when seals and sea lions gather together into huge colonies to give birth and raise their babies, hundreds of these little seal pups swim out, and then they come back and they kind of hit the whole beach together. But each and every pup can find its way back to its own mother because she calls out to that child, that puppy, with a distinctive and utterly unique bark. The baby seal locates its mom by voice recognition. Each of our voice prints are as individual as our fingerprints. The unique property of our voices are what made it possible for us to recognize who's on the other end of a phone call long before there was that caller ID. You see, our brain has this huge vocal directory stored up and can immediately identify the unique tenor and timbre of a familiar voice, telling us who's giving us the call. That's why it's so frustrating nowadays when we get a bad cell connection or some sort of distortion on the line. It messes up our ability to recognize the voice of our caller. Well, even before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were some problems with that connection made between Jesus and his disciples. You see, those who faithfully followed Jesus throughout his ministry seemed to suddenly get static on their lines whenever he spoke of the impending sacrifice, when he talked about his death and his resurrection. They heard the words, of course, but there was no recognition of his voice when that truth was received. It was as if those truths had a totally different wavelength than the rest of his teachings. And that wavelength just whizzed by the ears of those disciples. They could not recognize who Jesus truly was and what the fulfillment of his mission required of him and of them. Remember in this story, when Mary Magdalene made her early morning appearance at the tomb, she didn't recognize the risen Jesus until he spoke to her, until he called her by name. But when Jesus spoke the word Mary, suddenly her voice recognition kicked in, and she realized who was standing before her. When she recognized the voice, she also recognized the miracle that was the resurrection. Jesus instructed Mary to tell them that she had encountered the risen Christ, making her, as she's often called, the apostle to the apostles. But once again, there was static that interfered. Mary's words didn't appease the fears of Jesus' disciples who remained huddled in the room they had used for the Passover meal, doors locked in fear. The disciples who had not heard and seen Jesus for themselves couldn't bring themselves to believe in this miracle. Neither their hearts nor their hopes could hear the good news that Mary had to report to them. It was on a wavelength again that whizzed by their ears. They needed something more. Well, in this week's gospel text, John reports on how they got that something more and what that something more was. The something more was Jesus' voice. Suddenly, the risen Christ stood in their locked down, windows barred room. No walls or worries could keep Jesus away from their company. The tightly wrapped bands of the grave couldn't keep him. The stone that sealed the tomb couldn't stop him. And now the locked doors and barred windows couldn't block him. It's a whole new world, this world of resurrection. And Jesus' first act was not to act. Jesus' first act was to speak. His voice is his first resurrection appearance to his frightened disciples. And the message that he offers is both familiar and future-oriented. He says, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you is the quintessential and the traditional Jewish greeting of Shalom Aleichem. It's a phrase still used in greeting in the 21st century. Instead of fear and despair, Jesus affirms both he and his peace are present and in their midst. They're to continue to proclaim that peace because, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Even Thomas who said he would not believe until he could reach out and touch the wounds of Jesus, melted at the sound of his voice. His voice was enough to banish all need to prove by other senses. This empowering voice of peace reaffirms the promise that Jesus makes earlier in John's gospel, when he says, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." The Shalom Aleichem is Jesus' voice offering both comfort and empowerment. It gives the disciples the courage to both unlock their doors and open their windows and And it empowers them to step back into the world, to voice for themselves the good news of Christ's resurrection. We all have good voices and bad voices ricocheting around in our heads. Sometimes we hear ourselves say, "That was a good thing you did." But more often it'll be something like, "What a stupid move," or "How could you have been so dumb?" Author Stephen Furtick encourages Christians to stop tuning in to that static and instead focus on hearing God's voice above all others. He calls those annoying, eroding inner voices that have nothing good to say chatterbox. The chatterbox is like being on some kind of social media overload, with hundreds of negative Twitter messages bombarding your brain whenever you try and take a chance, whenever you take a walk or take a deep breath or a giant step forward. I mean, think about it for a minute. How many voices influence you each day? How many voices, how many Facebook posts or tweets or Instagrams or hashtags decide how you will respond to the events and experiences that confront you today or tomorrow? Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice has that ultimate authority in your life? Well, the disciples didn't know how to respond, how to react to this horrific event of Jesus' crucifixion. They didn't know until they heard the resurrected Lord. It wasn't until the disciples heard and recognized Jesus' voice and saw him stand among them and speak the words of peace and action. There was action there too. He was sending them out. That's when they knew who they were and what they had to do. Excuse me. You know, the number one problem, if we read through the post-resurrection experience, the number one problem the disciples had after his resurrection was their failure to recognize him. And I think it's our number one problem today. We fail to recognize Jesus appearing in this world. It wasn't until he spoke that the disciples recognized him. But it was that voice recognition then, and it's voice recognition today. You see, they needed to listen to Jesus' voice and follow his resurrection presence into the world. They needed to listen to Jesus' voice and act the way Jesus would act in the world. They needed to listen to Jesus' voice and be Jesus' voice to those who never got to hear him in person. They needed sometimes just to be quiet and listen to the Lord's voice and block out the static of the world. A ventriloquist is someone who learns how to throw their voice. They keep their lips from moving to make it seem that the words they're speaking are coming from some other place. Typically, it's a dummy, a partner in the dialogue. It's that wonderful pretend back and forth discussion, but it's really only one person doing that. But we're all ventriloquists at times. We're speaking in different voices from our own. But disciples of Jesus then and today are called to be a different kind of ventriloquist. See, we're people that have real conversations with real people in the real world. But we're called to speak with Jesus' voice. We are to echo the voice of the risen Christ, the voice that calmed the terrified disciples in that locked upper room, the voice that beckoned Lazarus out of the tomb, the voice that drew the fishermen away from their boats, the voice that called the children to sit on his knee. That's the voice we were created to hear, and that's the voice we're created to share. The voice of Jesus is a layered voice. It's not always a comforting voice. Jesus appeared and spoke to his disciples in the upper room, not so they could be comforted, but so that they could continue his voice outside of that safe haven. And the fact is that we now are Jesus' voice. And the best voices, the best prophets are not boom boxes of doom in this world, but bearers of hope. I guess there's no better advice than that most of our parents offer to each of us, letting things speak for themselves. So my suggestion is you let your life so speak for itself that the world may hear Jesus in you and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, to share Jesus' voice by letting his life be our life and our heart be his heart. Amen.